We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're under a week to go for the 2024 NFL Draft, and the Indianapolis Colts find themselves in a very interesting situation when it comes to their draft capital. We're going to talk about all that and more here in today's episode. But before we do that, guys, I want to remind you that this episode is presented by Prize Picks. So be sure to visit prizepicks.com today for a $100 deposit match when you sign up, if you use the code BTJ when you sign up. But without further ado, guys, let's get into today's episode. What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Bring the Juice. So guys, like I mentioned at the top of the video, the Colts find themselves in a very interesting situation. And I was on a live stream with Derek a few days ago, and we were discussing this a little bit more in detail. So if you haven't yet, be sure to go check back on that conversation. Definitely enjoyed our conversation, our talk about that. But really, the Colts find themselves in a very interesting situation. And I truly feel like this year, we honestly don't know what the Colts are going to do in two capacities. Number one, we don't know which position the Indianapolis Colts are going to take, right? There are multiple positions that the Indianapolis Colts could take. I identified four positions in the first round that I think are realistic possibilities for the Colts. Those being, of course, the quarterback position, the wide receiver position, the edge rush position, and finally the tight end position, more specifically Brock Bowers, if he is available in the first round. So with that being said, that is interesting in the fact that a year ago, we pretty much knew the Indianapolis Colts were going to take a quarterback, right? There was no debate in that the Colts were going to take a quarterback in round one. It was pretty much all an expectation from pretty much everybody, including, you know, the Colts as well. The biggest question mark was just who and how the Colts were going to do it, right? Were they going to stay at four? Were they going to trade up into three? You know, what was going to happen with that? And ultimately, you know, the rest is history with Anthony Richardson and stuff like that. But this year's a little bit different, a little bit unique, because you can make an argument in different capacities, and I have in different capacities, about each and every one of these positions, right? Obviously, cornerback is a given. You know, the Indianapolis Colts, they drafted a lot of corners last year. They're extremely young in the position. They still need some help in some capacity, kind of in that outside number two corner, or potentially even number one corner, depending how you view Juju Brents. When it comes to wide receiver, I mean, I think that you look at all the prospects, number one. Number two, you look at the Indianapolis Colts' current wide receiver room, and while there certainly are some pieces that you really like, obviously you locked in Michael Pittman Jr. on a three-year contract extension this offseason. You have Josh Downs, who looked really good when he was targeted last year, and you still do have Alec Pierce, who I know is not the most popular name amongst Colts circles, but when you think about Alec Pierce and what he can provide, I mean, you have to look at a couple different games this year, more specifically the Tennessee game and that Raider game, and you look and see Alec Pierce when he is targeted and when he is actually looked at down the field, he is a guy that can have some big plays in his back pocket, right? He can make some big time plays for you if you actually target him. Of course, last year with Gardner Minshew and kind of his, I would say, inability, but more so just willingness to throw the ball down the field and to find Alec Pierce, his numbers and really overall, I think the view on Alec Pierce for a lot of people really changed throughout the course of the season, right? Because he didn't have a lot of plays. He didn't get targeted a lot, right? All those numbers were down for Alec Pierce from year one to year two, but Alec Pierce still does have some things you'd like as a deep threat. Again, not a complete wide receiver. So you still do look at this wide receiver room and say you could still add some talent. I think you do need to add some talent, some explosive talent. And this draft, it's ripe with it, right? There are so many different wide receivers, whether you look at the top three guys, whether you look at a guy in 15, or whether you look at a guy a little bit later on in the draft. So there are a ton of options for the Colts to add more of that yards after catch type of wide receiver, right? Because they kind of have everything else when you're looking at their wide receiver core in general, right? They have Pittman, who's more of the reliable wide receiver. While he's not going to be a guy that's probably going to, you know, go and, you know, take a 5-yard catch and turn it into a 50-yard catch, he's a guy that's just so reliable. He's got the surest hands probably on the team. And he goes up and he makes plays, right? He has the ability to make some plays, make some very touch and clutch catches. You have Josh Downs, obviously, who definitely does some good things in the slot. I mentioned Alec Pierce with his deep threat ability. But you really are lacking in a lot of ways kind of that yards after the catch guy, right? A guy that you can throw the ball to and he will make a play with the ball in his hands. You kind of lack that type of wide receiver. So there are many opportunities and many players in this draft, whether it's round one in the early stages, whether it's in the mid round, or whether it's later on, late first round, early second round, and heck, maybe even late second round as well. There are a lot of options for the Indianapolis Colts in that capacity. And then let's go into the second point as well. You looked at those positions of need that you had for the Indianapolis Colts, right? You look at some of those, and I think that kind of leads to the fact that we honestly don't know what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do, right? Whether it is for a wide receiver, whether it is for a corner, whether it is for an edge, whether it is for, you know, a tight end, whatever the Colts are going to do, there are just a ton of options for the Colts sitting there currently at the 15th overall pick, where they could go. Now, obviously, you talk about the three different scenarios that I could see the Indianapolis Colts going to. The first one has been the most popular one as of recent, the trade-up scenario where the Colts would trade into the top 10, potentially take up wide receiver like a Malik Nabers, or maybe even trade up for, you know, an edge rusher like Dallas Turner or somebody like that within the top 10 if they somehow fell beyond some teams that maybe were projected to get them, or maybe even a guy like Brock Bowers as well. I know that's been a popular one. So that's been kind of one that, as of recent, some people like Peter Schrager have suggested the fact that the Colts might trade up. Now, I know when you look at Chris Ballard and his draft history, there's really only two cases that you can point to for the Indianapolis Colts trading up for a player that they want.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go back to the 2020 draft on the offensive side of the ball. The Indianapolis Colts in round number two traded up and got Jonathan Taylor. Now, again, it wasn't this massive trade up. It was only, in reality, what, two or three picks, something like that, they traded up. I think they had to give up like a future fifth. So it really was inconsequential, right? It wasn't super damaging to your long-term draft capital to trade up and get Jonathan Taylor. But you look at Jonathan Taylor and you say, why did the Colts take him? And I think you look the last couple of years and it's obvious why the Indianapolis Colts took him. And remember, at that time, Marlon Mack was coming off a pretty good season with the Indianapolis Colts, right, in 2019. Over 1,000 yards for Marlon Mack. And everybody was saying, there's no way that the Colts take a running back, right? I mean, nobody projected that. I remember making mock drafts. Nobody thought the Colts would take a running back, especially one that early, let alone trade up for a running back. But the Indianapolis Colts traded up for Jonathan Taylor. People were very confused at the time when the Indianapolis Colts did that, but you saw what the Indianapolis Colts saw in Jonathan Taylor, right? Obviously, the playmaker that he is, the big home run threat ability that Jonathan Taylor has, and it's obvious why they traded up, and it definitely worked out for the Indianapolis Colts in trading up. So you look at that and you say, okay, wow. You know, that's a situation. And then obviously two years later in the 2022 draft, the Indianapolis Colts traded up for a player out of Maryland, Nick Cross. Now, that one hasn't been as much of a slam dunk yet. Nick Cross certainly has shown you some things at that free safety position, but he just hasn't got a ton of run outside of really later on this last season. So again, that still is more TBD, and we'll see on that. But those are the two main situations where the Colts gave up anything considerable to go and get somebody in the draft and trade up. But we really haven't seen the Indianapolis Colts, especially in round one, traditionally do that, right? I mean, even last year, we were kind of pounding the table for potentially trading up to number three with the Arizona Cardinals and ensuring that you get your quarterback, right? Now, it obviously worked out pretty well for the Indianapolis Colts because Houston traded back up, got Will Anderson, and the Colts were still able to pick between Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. And obviously, we know what happened there. But those are really the only two situations that the Colts have done that. So Chris Ballard hasn't traditionally, you know, in the years that he's been the GM ever since 2017, he hasn't traditionally traded up a lot. Now, again, you can make the argument like, he hasn't had the opportunity really to trade. I mean, maybe he has had the opportunity, but he hasn't had such a clear need and potentially the opportunity to trade up and get a player like Malik Nabers caliber there potentially at nine, right? I mean, that is very true. And the Colts have obviously been very adamant about adding a playmaker, about adding some more explosion to their offense. And so, I mean, obviously on paper, Nabers definitely fits the bill for what the Colts would want to do with explosion. I mean, he's such an incredible athlete, an incredible wide receiver, especially in the yards after catch department. And so that's definitely a very good thing. And it obviously would be a major fit for Anthony Richardson and in Shane Steichen's system. So you can make the argument if he were to fall for some reason outside of the top eight, and Chicago's sitting there at nine, and Indianapolis can swing a trade with them, that could be something where the Colts could get not just a great player, but potentially a guy that could be, based off of his projections and what he did in college, I mean, could be a top five wide receiver if he hit his full potential, right? That's the type of wide receiver that Malik Nabers is, right? So we've seen the Indianapolis Colts address wide receiver, but the earliest we've seen them ever really address it with Chris Ballard was Michael Pittman Jr. back in 2020, right? And that was an early second-round pick. We've never really seen them go, you know, in the first round or anywhere really near the first round when it comes to their wide receiver. Pittman Jr. would be the closest one to that, right? But, I mean, you look at it. Alec Pierce, second-round pick. Josh Downs, third-round pick, right? So the Colts have gone more day two for their wide receivers. So this would definitely be a different scenario for them if they were to trade up into the top 10. Now, will they do it? That remains to be seen. But I do think it's more of a possibility than maybe some people are actually thinking. I have seen people who say there's no way the Colts do it. And I understand that. And I get that because they haven't really done something like this. But I would just say it's fascinating because I think it's more plausible than maybe some people will admit. Now, again, it may not happen. But I do think it is interesting that the Indianapolis Colts and different people who know the Colts, know the NFL, have suggested this could be a possibility for Indianapolis if a player like Neighbors were to fall in any capacity. Now, obviously, the second scenario is pretty boring, probably the least interesting of any of them, and that is just, frankly, just staying at pick 15 and picking the best player available. Now, I do think this is a very plausible situation as well, because when you look at the prospects that could be available, I mean, you're going to have your pick of a lot of different players here, right? Potentially the best corner in this class, arguably, in Terrion Arnold, or heck, Quinnion Mitchell, if that's what you want, right? Or I know a player like Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, right? A teammate of Malik Neighbors. That is a guy that is very, very intriguing as well, just for what he would do with this offense, and he will likely be available at 15. I know some people have suggested maybe even Brock Bowers could fall to 15, potentially. I don't know if it will happen, but potentially it could. Or maybe one of these edge rushers, a player like Jared Verse or Laiatu Latu, potentially could be there for Indianapolis. So if the Colts were to theoretically stay at 15, it would be a scenario where I think they would still have a great opportunity to add a lot of quality impact players that could make an impact and start from day one. I really do believe that could be an opportunity. And I do think, going back to the needs for the Colts, I think realistically there will be at least probably three of the four positions of need that I truly believe will be available at pick 15 for the Colts. So basically they could do a BPA if they wanted to. They could get the best player on the board from any of those respective positions and feel very good about it. So that is an option for the Indianapolis Colts. Not as flashy, obviously, as trading up, but it is an option and it is an opportunity for the Colts. If they wanted to do something like that, I do think they could do that.
As we said, guys, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Now, what is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Instead of battling against thousands of other players across platforms, you're basically picking 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're choosing more or less on those stat projections to be able to watch those winnings roll in. It's very easy. Do you guys want to play along at some of Prize Picks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and UFC fighter Sugar Sean O'Malley? Well, if you guys sign up today, you can find the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view the entries of some of the biggest names on the platform and be a part of that as well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 just like that with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Like a lot of other things, guys, they also offer injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So if someone exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So it's great bounce back for that one. What I love about the app as well, guys, is it's not just sports like NBA, NHL, football and tennis and baseball and all these other things, but there's also a lot of others that go into it as well. If you like to place entries on video game situations like Call of Duty, CS2, Apex, if that's something that appeals to you, there's a wide variety of sports and video games and everything else that you can place entries on. And I love how expansive it is. Even just looking at the NBA, there's entries you can make with turnovers, with points. You can do combo deals, dunks, field goals attempted, all these different things. So there's just so many different ways to make money off of these entries. Be sure to download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, it's sponsored by Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
And then finally, of course, we got to talk about the option for the Colts. And I know some people have thrown this around as a really realistic possibility, the option of trade down, right? Now, with Indianapolis being at 15, and with all the players, like I just mentioned, that still would be probably available at 15. I think there's a scenario where the Colts could do kind of what they did last year with Juju Brents. If you remember, Colts had an early second round pick. They traded down into the mid second round, acquired some more draft capital, and then were still able to get Brents, who was one of their top players on the board, because at the time that they were originally picking, there were so many good prospects available, and none of them necessarily were so much better than the others that the Colts felt like they had to take a player. So maybe that's a scenario where the Colts sit there at 15 and say, hey, if we trade into the early 20s, we're going to still get a really quality player while also adding some more draft capital, potential day two draft capital, depending how far down they go. And then they could add, you know, another wide receiver, or they could add another corner, or they could do really whatever with that other potential day three pick, or even more than that. And so that is definitely a very intriguing thing. Now, again, you do have to understand that, you know, it does ultimately come down to what the Colts, you know, deem worth the risk, because it is a risk to trade down. I mean, there's no doubt that it is a risk, because there always is the possibility that some of those players that are on your board may not be there. And obviously some of them won't be there, but maybe a lot of those guys that are in kind of that cluster where you're at go a little bit earlier than you thought. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there and you don't get any of these players. That is the risk that you run with trading down, right? You don't ensure you get necessarily the player that you always want, right? But if the Colts do deem, like they did last year, that this cluster, there's going to be at least a few more players available if we do trade down, I personally think it's worth trading down. I do think it's worth trading down in that scenario. Now, again, it will depend who does become available and who, if the Colts are sitting there at 15 and a player like a Brock Bowers somehow falls to them, a player that, you know, they obviously do feel like is, and again, we'll see if the Colts do this. I know a lot of people have said if Brock Bowers is there at 15, there's no doubt the Colts take him, right? If they stay there at 15. But if there's a player like that that I think falls to them, I think they do stay there and they do pick that player at 15. But if some of those high-end players that were kind of in the top 10 or projected potentially to go ahead of where the Colts are, that are kind of on tier one for the Indianapolis Colts and not like that tier two, that mid to late round type of player, I think that's a possibility. But if they're all gone, I think the Colts, that kind of just raises the possibility for them of that possible trade down scenario. And so, like I said, guys, we don't know a whole lot. I mean, there's been a lot of different reports and rumors and stuff, but ultimately we don't know until the first round this coming Thursday happens. We don't know a lot of these questions. We don't know how they're going to get answered until they are answered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And so it'll just be very interesting to see what does indeed happen here with the Indianapolis Colts with their first round pick. You know, do they trade up? Do they stay put? Or do they trade back? All different ways, and I think different arguments. Ultimately, for me, guys, I kind of have come to this point where I'm like, I can make an argument for each and every scenario here for the Indianapolis Colts. At the end of the day, the Indianapolis Colts, in my opinion, add a playmaker on offense, add to their DB room, and potentially, you know, we'll see obviously as well with the pass rush and also with the tight end. But I think if they just get better and they add and they help Anthony Richardson out and they help their young secondary out, those are the two big things for me that I will come away satisfied from the NFL draft if those two things happen in some capacity for the Indianapolis Colts, whether it's trade up, whether it's staying put at 15, or whether it's trading down and acquiring more draft capital. So that's kind of where I stand, guys, when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts, the different scenarios, the different positions that they could potentially pick here in round number one. But I'm curious what you guys think in regards to this whole scenario with the NFL draft. Let me know your guys' thoughts in the comments down below. Really curious to hear which scenario and which position/player Do you want the Indianapolis Colts to go after? Let me know all those things in the comments down below, guys. But that'll do it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Like I said, guys, I mean, we are going to be going crazy when it comes to the content coming up here in this next week. We're going to be cranking out a ton of videos, so be sure that you have your notification bell ready so that you know when, number one, we go live, because we're going to be streaming all 3 days of the draft, but number two, when we drop different content. I mean, we're going to be doing what we've done the last couple of years. Any press conferences around draft time, we're going to be reacting to. Anything in regards to draft picks, we're going to be reacting to, right? We're going to have breakdowns of each and every individual player that the Colts add. It's going to be just a great time overall. This is Derek and I's favorite time of the year, I think, or one of our favorite times of the year. Certainly for me, it's probably my favorite time of the year. It honestly does feel like Christmas in a lot of ways. You know, growing up, you were so excited for that happening. It really does feel like that here in the football world. So really looking forward to that. But again, guys, let me know your thoughts here on the Indianapolis Colts in round number one, how you want them to address it, and in what capacity do you want the Colts to address their positions of need. So let me know all those things, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, guys, go Colts.